Well, today we continue to think about hope. Hope is not just a one sermon type of subject, but one that I think could have a whole month or almost a whole year talking about the hope of Jesus. What hope we have. Amen? What hope we have in Him. Well, there is a family that was observing Advent, and they were trying to remember and get their kids to remember just what it was all about and different candles. And so they began to discuss and said, "What do you remember what each one means and what each one, its theme has?" And one of the children in this family began to respond, said, "Well, there's love, joy, peace." And the other one interrupted, the other one said, "Yeah, peace and quiet." Peace and quiet. Is your Christmas full of peace and quiet? Sometimes it's the very opposite, isn't it, of peace and quiet. But I pray and I hope, and I use that word, and you'll hear that word a lot in this message, that it's filled with hope. What an expectation. So I want us to pray and then look into Psalm 33. Lord Jesus, we come to You, the author and the finisher of our faith, the author of our hope, the author of our destiny, the author of our history, our past, our present, and our future. And we thank You. We thank You that we just got to celebrate and remember the hope that You give to us. And Lord Jesus, thank You for dying in our place. Thank You for coming and being that substitution, that substitutionary atonement that we celebrate. And we thank You so much for the atonement of the sins that we remember not only each first Sunday of the month, but I pray that we remember every hour of the day, because that is what gives us hope. That is what gives us peace, joy, and love, and gives us our purpose. Thank You, Lord Jesus. And I pray that that purpose, that hope, would be deepened even just a little bit by Your words through me now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 33, starting at verse 13, going to verse 22. You can follow along with me. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place, He watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice. We trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. Just to review, we're going to look at Isaiah 40:31 as we go through. But just a review of last week, we looked at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. We talked about a new birth, a living hope, a sure inheritance and great protection. A new birth, a living hope, sure inheritance and great protection. We drew attention to Oswald Chambers, who said, in regards to great protection, God's purpose for my life is that I depend on Him and on His power now. Now. That's hope. God has given us power. God has given us authority through His Son, Jesus Christ, and we have that standing now. We have this living hope because of Jesus Christ who rose from the dead. But how do we embody this hope? We've seen what hope we have. How do we embody that? Being hope to a hopeless world. Well, do you know that the word hope in the King James Version is mentioned 105 in 105 verses, and in 40 chapters, and in 28 books? Just to give you how many times the word hope comes up, at least in that version, I'm sure it's very similar in the NIV, ESV, NASB as well. But 105 verses speak of hope, or they use the word hope. 40 chapters and 28 books all have the word hope in them. Do you think there's some hope in the Word of God? Amen. And that hope is embodied in one person, Jesus Christ. And so the first candle we lit embodies that, symbolizes that hope. And it is a prophetic hope, a hope, first of all, of Jesus' first coming and Jesus' second coming. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus is coming again? Oh, man, I am so excited about that. It pumps me up when I think about Jesus' second coming. Are we ready for it, church? Sometimes I wonder if we're ready, but I pray and hope every day that we are all ready for him. That hope of the first coming of Christ, and I love the song that my wife Sherry sang about Anna, that she had that hope, even in the midst of silence, even in the midst of that, there's 40 years, 400 years, it says, between Micah and Matthew of silence, right? Where God did not speak, God did not utter a word, right? And then, but yet there is hope. There's people like Anna, like Simeon, who held on to that hope, the hope that the Messiah is coming. He's coming back. And now we see in our world, Christ is here. He's given us his Holy Spirit. But what do we do oftentimes? We drown out his voice with the noise around us. We live in a noisy world. Amen? I'm not just talking about people's voices, but there is a lot of voices out there that are clamoring for our attention. And it's drowning out the voice, the one true voice that we need to hear this Christmas, the voice of hope, the voice of Jesus Christ that's saying, I love you, church. I came and I died for you. Listen to me. Listen to me. Are we listening to Jesus? People are looking for hope. What are we as Christians showing them? What are we showing them? Are we busy this Christmas season, filling our schedules with lots of probably good things? But are we showing them the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? Or our actions, our schedules, those are a witness. Did you know that? That your schedule can be a witness to Jesus Christ. What you put, what you prioritize, shows where your heart is at. If you're busy just for being the sake of being busy, then I wonder sometimes if we are showing hope or just giving into a hopeless pace, a hectic pace at Christmas and throughout the year. Sometimes we just show them the heaviness of the stress of our filled up lives instead of hope. So when we look at Psalm 33 here, it says, from heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. What does God see when he looks at us? What does God see when he looks at us? When he looks at your heart, when he looks at your mind, when he looks at your schedule, what does he see? When God considers all that we do every day, and what type of heart does he see that we do it in? Do we at times have misplaced hope? What does it say here in verses 16 and 17? No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. It cannot save. Think about that for a minute. Many of you here, and maybe you're not a warrior, maybe you're not a king, but many of you here are very intelligent. Many of you here have great education. Many of you here have great skills and abilities in workmanship and craftsmanship. All wonderful things. Many of you here have great skills and abilities in administration, in music, and other things. In the farm, other places like that. That's all wonderful gifts and abilities that God has given to you. But are they going to save you when you die? We're not saved by works, are we? Amen? Praise the Lord that we don't have to be saved by works. It's by the one work of Jesus Christ that we believe in and are saved. Amen, church? Yes. That is our hope. We need to offer ourselves and all that we are, all that we have, gifts and skills and talents and abilities that I see and have seen since I've been here as your pastor, with open hands. open hands. We're going to talk a little bit in just a few minutes about humility, and that's part of that. Living life with open hands. That's what gives us really our hope and our purpose. Oftentimes, kings and warriors and leaders, we put our hope in our intelligence or other things like that. Not that intelligence is bad, but we need to put our hope in the one who knows all, sees all, is all, our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. By placing our hope in Jesus Christ and opening our hands and our lives and our schedules and our skills and just giving them as an offering to Him, living a Romans 12:1 life, that we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, as our spiritual act of worship. Just want to pause for a second. Can everyone hear me? Everyone in the back corner? Everyone over there in the back? Good. Awesome. Thank you. Romans 5:5 says, when we place our hope in Him, that hope is not disappointed. Has Jesus ever disappointed any of you? No. Has people disappointed you? Have people let you down? Can I have a hearty amen? Yes. People always let us down. But who is one who will never let us down, who will never disappoint us? His name is Jesus. As I think about hope, I think about patience. And a cousin of mine named Dory had this quote, and I think, I don't know if it was original with her, but you mechanics out there will get a kick out of this one. Patience is the ability to idle your motor when you feel like stripping your gears. Right? You ready to idle your motor when you feel like stripping your gears? That hope, that perspective that Jesus gives us, helps us to wait on Him. And that's what Isaiah 40:31 is all about, right? Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their hope and mount up with wings as eagles and run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. It's not about pushing forward in our strength, church. It's not about growing in our own strength. It's about growing in His strength and the strength that the Holy Spirit offers us. It's about having that perspective. It's about releasing, not retaining. It's about releasing things to Him. Waiting on the Lord in a hope-filled posture looks much like a poem that I had to learn in high school by Rudyard Kipling. Some of you may know it. It's called If. I just want to read it to you, a portion of it. It's quite a long poem, but I'm only going to read a portion. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, then you are a man, my son. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, then you are a man, my son. When I read that, I hear hope, right? We're going to meet with triumph and disaster. We're going to meet with people who are trying to just butter us up or people who are trying to put us down. We're going to meet with all those different types of situations in our life. And I don't know if Rudyard Kipling was a Christian, but maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But that, when I see that, I want to change that last line. When you are a hope-filled, Christ-centered Christian, you are a man, my son. You are a woman of God. You are a man of God. You are a son of God. And it's not if, it is you are. You are. So we need to wait. Wait on the Lord. What does that mean to wait? Wait is not a passive, but it's an active. It's depending upon Him as we move forward. Having that hope as we move forward. It's a living hope, as we talked about. That we will suffer, as Peter talked about, through various kinds of trials. But these trials have come that your faith may be refined like gold. Right? There will be trials, and maybe some of you are going through those right now. But we feed and we focus on Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life, as He talks about in the Gospel of John. Those who feed on Him will never go hungry. So we see here, and throughout the Christmas story, we see hope just bursting forth. We see even as Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, hope bursting forth in Elizabeth's womb as John the Baptist jumps because of who was in Mary's womb. That hope, that expectation of the Messiah, the Savior, was coming. Sometimes I wonder, and I know some of us, we come Sunday after Sunday, and we go out each day, and we wake up each morning. Do we have that expectation, that hope, that as we walk through this life, that it's going to be exciting with Jesus? Has your walk with Jesus been exciting? Has it been an expectation of what you're hoping for each and every moment of every day? Is there something there in your life each day that you're like, yes, I wake up and I want to go out. I want to embody the gospel. I want to share the gospel to the world. I hope that's your excitement, your expectation. Not just at Christmas when we celebrate his birth, or at Easter when we celebrate his death and resurrection, but every day. Is there something there that just fires you up? I pray that that's the case for us, because, you know, oftentimes people look at us as Christians and they see hopelessness. Not that we, you know, put on a fake smile, but that we need to be genuine, right? Show a genuine hope, a genuineness, that as we walk through this life, that Jesus is our all in all. So how can the hope of Jesus Christ and what he came to do help us each day? Well, I want to give you an acronym. If you take anything from this sermon today, use this. May it help you this week and throughout your life. It's in the form of hope. The first one is H, humility. I don't know if you can bring that up there. Thank you. Humility. Christ's example of putting us first will help us to put others first. Amen? Yes. Mark DeHaan says this, humility is something we should constantly pray for, yet never thank God that we have. Amen? Yeah. If you thank God that you have it, then you've just turned into a prideful person, just with that statement, right? And so people need to see us as servants, right? Just as Jesus was like, putting others first, using our time, talents, and treasure that God has given to us to honor him. Humility. Second, O, overcomer. Christ overcame death and sin, and through faith in him, we too are given strength and power to overcome the obstacles that we face. I want to just back up for a second, back to humility. One thing that was given to me in my life was a father figure for a very short time. My dad I was with him before he developed Alzheimer's and Parkinson's for a short time. But while he was able to be in his right mind, he would come home often from a very hard day of being a probation officer. And he wouldn't put himself first. He would put me first. You know what he did? Maybe you had a dad like this. I pray that you did. But I would say, Dad, can we go out and play street hockey? And he said, sure, son. And we would go out and play street hockey. Or we'd play some sort of sport. Or he'd, you know, get down on the ground and play Tonkas with me or whatever. Some of you don't even know what a Tonka truck is. But in this age of tablets and Facebook and all these other things. But I say that to say this, that he was humble enough to, even though he was wiped out from a day of work, he could have said, no, son, just wait a minute. No, he put me first. And I know I'm not always that great at doing that, but I try to put others first. And I pray that that would be an example to others and to those in your areas of influence. Do you put them first? Do you put your wives first? Wives, do you put your husbands first? Do you example Christ at home and then go out into the world and say, yes, I want to put others first? Humility. So being an overcomer, what does that look like? Well, 1 John 5, I want to reference that, verses 1 through 5, specifically verse 5, says this. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Are we an overcoming church? Pray that we are, that we would overcome the world. Be an overcomer. I have a friend from the church that I pastored in Whitewood that's been texting me a lot. She's been in a hospital bed in Ottawa now for 7 weeks. And she had brain cancer that was removed. She wasn't sure if she was going to make it most of the times. So we were texting back and forth and to many different people. Been praying for her. This past Wednesday, she texted me and said, guess what? I got my discharge. I'm out at a hotel, and I'm waiting one more week, and I just have to have some sutures taken out, and I'm on my way home. Hallelujah! What an overcomer! What an example! What a help for us as we think about hope. And where did she place her hope those 7 weeks? In Jesus Christ. Her healer, her restorer, her hope. Being an overcomer. Maybe some of you can relate with that. Thirdly, purpose. Being purpose-filled. As was said a couple of times, and as we remembered here, Jesus came in order not to just be born in a barn. That offers humility right there. That's another sermon in and of itself. But Jesus came with one purpose, and that is to take our place, to die for us, to be purpose-filled. So now we must die to self. Luke 9, 23 and 24, I want to read it to us. It talks about taking up our crosses and following after him. Luke 9 says this to us. Then he said to them, Jesus, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. And then go on to verse 25. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world but yet forfeit his soul? Purpose-filled. I have a missionary friend who is in Costa Rica currently, and we've FaceTimed with him and Facebooked with him on and off, and he's sent WhatsApp messages to us back and forth. And he said, pray for me. I witnessed and shared the gospel with a Costa Rican drug lord this week. And now they got a bounty out for me. Wow. Purpose-filled. Does the cross of Christ, would he do that if it wasn't for Jesus? No. Pray for him. Pray for his wife. If you want to know his name, you can come to me afterwards and talk to me. But he needs our prayers. He needs our prayers to continue to be an overcomer, to continue to be purpose-filled. He has denied himself, taken up his cross, and followed after Jesus Christ. Finally, expectation. So we have humility, being an overcomer, being purpose-filled. Finally, expectation. What does this look like? So may we celebrate the birth of our Savior, but live for our soon-coming King. He's our soon-coming King. Are we living for him? Are we living like he's coming soon? Jesus talks about in a parable about a widow who continued to knock and pursue a judge. And give me justice, give me justice. And at the end of that parable, he asks a very important question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Guess what? That very word is in the title of our church's name, Faith Community Baptist Church. Are we waiting in our time here in heightened expectation of Jesus' second coming? My mom, as I've probably mentioned before, worked in home care. And she worked, one of the last couples she worked with was a 92-year-old, 94-year-old in Calgary who were a very deeply godly family. And the husband would often pray for me as I would drive back and forth dropping my mom off. And then I would go to high school and then pick my mom up at the end of the day. One of their hopes, and maybe some of you have the same hope, that they both wanted to be raptured at the same time. Thought that was kind of interesting. Let's go up with Jesus together, holding hands, honey. Let's go. Hallelujah. There we go. Woo. Any of you have that hope? Well, we'll have to see what happens with that. But they had this expectation, and it was tangible. It was real. Have you ever met someone like that? I hope that we become more like that as we go about our lives, that they just oozed expectation. They oozed hope. They oozed being purpose-filled, being an overcomer, being humble. They just oozed that. So may we have that for our own lives as well. That is my prayer for us as a church, that we would be humble people, that we would be overcomers, that we would be purpose-filled, and that we would be filled with expectation. I encourage you, I'm going to give you a few scriptures here. I'm not going to read them, but they talk about our hope. And may you ground yourself in these scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3, verses 2 and 3. Hope gives us endurance. Hebrews 6, 18 to 20. A living high priest of hope, our advocate. And Romans 8, 22 through 25, our future hope, Jesus is coming again. Well, how do we walk this out? Well, one way and one person that comes to my mind is the one who kicked in the womb when Jesus came in to his presence, and that is John the Baptist. And there's one line that he speaks as he was preparing the way. He was Elijah preparing the way for Jesus to come. And he said this, "He must become greater, I must become lesser." May the greatness of the hope and expectation of our Lord and Savior become greater in us. May we ourselves and who we think we are by the world standards become less. May he become greater. When people look at us, do they see Jesus or do they just see Joseph? Put your name in the blank. When people see you, do they see Jesus in the way you run your business, the way you run your farm? Do they see Jesus? Do they see you running your farm in humility? Do they see you running your business or raising your kids with humility, being an overcomer, being purpose-filled, filled with expectation? Do they see that? I pray that they do. And the only way that happens is if he becomes greater in us and we become lesser. Hudson Taylor, a famous missionary, was introduced at a missionary conference in Melbourne, Australia. The moderator of the service introduced the missionary in eloquent and glowing terms. He told the large congregation that all that Taylor had accomplished in China and then presented him as our illustrious guest. Taylor stood quietly for a moment and then opened his message by saying this, "Dear friends, I am a little servant of an illustrious master. I'm a little servant of an illustrious master." We are little servants filled with a great, huge, big hope of an illustrious master who's coming again for us. Do we serve an illustrious master? Amen? Yes. So may we walk out this week, this Christmas, and into 2019 in humility, being an overcomer, being purpose-filled, and full of expectation because we serve an illustrious master. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you, the author and the finisher of our hope, the hope that feeds our faith, that gives us the chance to walk out in humility and serve others as you served us, that helps us to overcome the obstacles that come our way, that gives us purpose and renewal and strength, and it gives us a greater heightened expectation of who you are and who you want us to be, and that you are coming again. So when we look at these questions, Lord Jesus, ultimately I pray that you would increase our faith, that when you come, that you will find faith at Faith Community Baptist Church. Fill us, Lord Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill us with truth. Fill us with more of your presence that we can truly say at every moment of every day, you become greater, we become lesser. That we serve as a little part in your illustrious plan, and we serve a truly illustrious and amazing master. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you for all the hope you've given to us. May we walk out empowered today to live that hope in a world that so desperately needs it. We pray in Jesus' name.